Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Chinese President Xi Jinping is tapped for a third five-year term as Communist Party leader, with rivals nowhere in sight.
If he wasn't in full control, he definitely is in full control right now. There should be no, or much less, internal pushback in terms of policy debate against what he wants to do.
Plus, Britain's former Treasury chief emerges as the favorite in the race for prime minister, and we'll look at the early takeaways from earnings season. It's Monday, October 24th. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal, and here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Former UK Treasury Chief Rishi Sunak has taken a major step towards becoming the next prime minister after his main rival, former Prime Minister Boris Johnson, pulled out of the race late Sunday. The other remaining candidate is Penny Mordaunt, the leader of the House of Commons. If she is not able to secure at least 100 nominations from Conservative lawmakers, the contest to replace outgoing Prime Minister Liz Truss could be over by this afternoon. The U.S. Border Patrol arrested a record 2.2 million people crossing America's southern border illegally in the past year. That is according to new data released by U.S. Customs and Border Protection, and marks a second straight year of record arrests. About 48% of those arrested by Border Patrol were turned back, while the remaining migrants have generally been allowed to wait in the U.S. while pursuing asylum or other claims in federal immigration court. Japan's finance minister has pledged government action to prevent excessive fluctuations in foreign exchange markets following recent sharp weakness in the yen. However, Shinichi Suzuki declined to say whether the government had already intervened to buy yen on Friday or Monday, two occasions when the currency strengthened without any other obvious explanation. Wall Street Journal Tokyo Bureau Chief Peter Landers has more.
The finance ministry did announce on September 22nd that it had intervened by buying yen for the first time in 24 years. And despite doing that, the yen continued to fall. The intervention's effect wore off after a couple of days. And so I think they're worried about seeming ineffectual, and that if they announce several times that they've intervened and then the market sees that it didn't really have a long-term effect, that the effect of intervention will effectively disappear altogether. So now they're being a little cagey and cryptic and saying maybe we did, maybe we didn't.
China's economy expanded more strongly than expected in the third quarter of the year, according to data released with a week's delay by the National Bureau of Statistics. China's gross domestic product grew 3.9% in the 3 months ending September 30th compared to a year earlier. Still, the third quarter number fell short of the 4.8% growth rate recorded in the first 3 months of the year before widespread COVID lockdowns hit the economy. We'll have more on China's future direction following the Communist Party's Congress later in the show. And in other markets events today, S&P Global is set to release business activity surveys from around the world, while Discover Financial Services and insurance company Brown & Brown are among those reporting earnings. With about one-fifth of S&P 500 companies having reported quarterly earnings results, a trend is already emerging, according to FactSet. Fewer companies than usual are beating Wall Street's earnings expectations. So far, 72% of companies have exceeded analysts' consensus earnings estimates, down from a five-year average of 77%. And considering that analysts had already revised down their expectations, these misses can start to look more significant. And joining us now with more on the early takeaways from earnings season is Wall Street Journal markets reporter Hannah Miao. Hannah, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So what trends, Hannah, can we say are starting to take shape from these early earnings results?
The trends that are really at the forefront of the earnings season so far are those that have been on investors' minds for this whole year. The Fed's raising interest rates, the financial tightening, and the strong dollar are really weighing on companies' results. And expectations were already quite low going into the earnings season. Gene Goldman, who's the chief investment officer at Cetera Investment Management, told me the bar was set really low. And so when companies are missing earnings results, that looks even worse because investors were bracing for the worst and companies are still not matching those expectations.
And so what might these trends tell us heading into a week when a lot of companies, including mega cap technology companies, are set to report their results?
The overall mood versus the second quarter reporting season is pretty different. In the summer, investors were starting to believe that maybe inflation had peaked. Maybe that meant the Fed could pivot and start to loosen their interest rates. There's an idea the Fed might be able to start slowing down as interest rate increases. And now that is no longer the case. The Fed has made it very clear they're going to continue onward because inflation is still too hot. And that means the environment is getting tougher for businesses. And with inflation remaining hot, companies that have so far been able to pass on higher input costs to consumers are going to start to see that pricing power being tested. Some companies have already started to note that some of the pricing strategies they used before might need another look moving forward. And so the macro trends with the Fed and worries about their inflation are really looming large. And we'll get some more insights in the week ahead with big name reports from companies like Apple and Microsoft.
That was Wall Street Journal markets reporter Hannah Miao. Hannah, thanks so much.
Absolutely.
Coming up, China's major Communist Party gathering wrapped up over the weekend. We'll hear how President Xi Jinping fared during the Congress, as well as what China's next slate of leaders could tell us about the country's future after the break.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Chinese President Xi Jinping is embarking on his third term as leader of the country's Communist Party after a party congress that wrapped up this weekend saw his rivals moved out of the way and no clear successor emerging beneath him in the ranks. Wall Street Journal China correspondent Chunhan Wang has been covering this meeting for us, and he joins us now from Hong Kong with a look at the major takeaways from the gathering. Chunhan, thank you so much for being with us. Welcome.
Thank you.
Chunhan, besides receiving a third five-year term as leader, how has President Xi fared, really, coming out of this party gathering?
I think, as one of the experts we spoke to sort of summarized it, he was dominant before, but he's even more dominant now. So in terms of personnel, that's pretty much the main purpose of this Congress, is to elect a new slate of leadership for the party. And the new lineup from the uppermost levels down to the Politburo, then the Central Committee, looks to be quite heavily stacked with people who are seen as allied to Xi Jinping or have been his proteges in the past. So in terms of Xi Jinping being able to exercise his personal control over various levers of power through this party and eventually the state, as his people go on to take on state positions in the coming few months, it's quite clear that insofar as there were any internal personnel resistance against Xi Jinping's agenda, that shouldn't be an issue anymore, at least from his point of view, because he has pretty much placed the people that he would like in most of the key positions.
Another thing that was pretty obvious to observe from the photos of this new leadership lineup is there were no women featured here. Does that tell us anything?
Yes, that is quite a telling omission. So for the first time in 25 years, the Politburo, which currently comprises 24 members, does not have a woman on it, whether as a full member or alternate member. So this is in some ways a bit of a surprise and a setback in terms of, you know, the Communist Party has long talked about how it's trying to be a progressive force, trying to push for a more egalitarian society, a more equal society. But one of the most fundamental aspects of this claim, you know, gender equality. There's hardly any progress, at least at the leadership front. And if anything, what we've just seen is a setback.
There was one unusual incident during this otherwise very scripted party congress in which Xi's predecessor, Hu Jintao, seemed to have been escorted out of the room. Do we know what happened there?
So we don't know exactly. What we can say based on available footage and imagery that we have right now is that at some point during the closing session of the party congress, an aide came over to the former leader and tried to lift him off his chair. He either seemed unable or unwilling to stand up, and eventually either he was persuaded or he became willing to stand up. And before he left, he basically exchanged a few words with Xi Jinping, and he also gave the outgoing Premier Li Keqiang a pat on the shoulder before walking off the Congress dais with two other people. Many hours later, on the same day, the Xinhua News Agency, which is the Chinese government's news wire, tweeted that the former leader was not feeling well, and he basically left the venue to take some rest in a room next door. But other than that, there's been no official comment on what happened, and we are pretty much left grasping at these few details, basically the imagery and official statement as to what happened.
In terms of how the outcome of this party congress is being processed beyond Beijing, shares in Hong Kong today faced a wave of sell-offs. Is it possible that something about the outcome of this Communist Party Congress is worrying investors and economists?
I think one of the issues that are on people's minds are the fact that there's an expectation in terms of what the new personnel in the leadership might look like versus what actually happened. So I think before the Congress, there were some people who hoped that the new leadership would feature some officials who were seen as more liberal-minded, at least on the economic front. They were more supportive of pro-market policies in the past, and they were hoping that these people would make it into the leadership. But as the final result shows, none of them made it into the leadership. And those who did make it into leadership are pretty much people from Xi's camp, who we therefore expect to be more willing to commit and execute his vision. He talked a lot about common prosperity during his speech a week before, which has been taken as sort of a byword for pushing for more state control, pushing for more distribution of wealth across society. And a lot of investors and foreign businesses don't necessarily take this messaging too well because of a series of regulatory crackdowns over the past few years. And so people come to associate common prosperity with potentially turmoil in terms of how the government regulates private enterprises. And I think that was probably the issues that people had in mind when they saw the new leadership lineup.
And in that vein, is there anything else we can say about China's future, either domestically or internationally, based on how this party congress wrapped up?
I think the new leadership lineup suggests that Xi Jinping, if he wasn't in full control, he definitely is in full control right now, at least in terms of personnel, in terms of his ability to control all the levers of power in China. There should be no or much less internal resistance or pushback in terms of policy debate against what he wants to do. But then that also comes with risks. If the leadership lineup is more or less comprised of people who buy into his vision, the concern is that there will be less robust debate on policies, less pushback on when certain decisions are perceived as wrong. There'll be less resistance on that front, and this would carry a lot of risk going forward for China.
That was Wall Street Journal China correspondent Chun Han Wang joining us from Hong Kong. Chun Han, thank you so much for the time. A pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you very much.
And finally, in-flight Wi-Fi is taking off. Thanks to a satellite boom, fast Wi-Fi is set to proliferate on flights in the near future, with market intelligence company Euroconsult projecting a 19-fold increase in leased in-flight Wi-Fi capacity by 2030. And while that may be great news for those hoping to stream videos or keep up with their work emails at 30,000 feet, Wall Street Journal Heard on the Street columnist John Sindreo says that for the companies offering in-flight Wi-Fi, the service is likely to be more of a differentiator rather than a revenue generator.
I think the airlines now think, oh, I'm going to differentiate my product by doing this. But ultimately, it's going to be, no, everyone's offering it. It's very hard to make money on this because we all expect it, right? You're starting to see that airlines are saying, well, my service is going to have this latency. That's going to be great. And you're going to be able to play Fortnite. But the problem is that if only a few people care about it, then the airlines are going to be in this rat race where they're going to offer better and better services that are more costly for them. And ultimately, we've seen in the telco industry that this massive deployment of investment doesn't normally pay back the companies.
And that's What's News for Monday morning. We'll be back tonight with a news show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.